GoFundMe.com.
Morning, everyone. Happy Easter, or Happy Resurrection Sunday, however you'd like to take that. It's the same day for us here, all right? So, we've been doing this series for the last few months, if you haven't been here, The Greatest Show, and it's based on the movie The Greatest Showman. And what we've been doing is taking individual songs from the soundtrack, because a lot of them have parallels to the stories, the great stories of Jesus' life in the Gospels. And so we've been taking one each week, and this week we've saved The Greatest Show in this song for Easter from the very beginning. So I'm really excited as we have this theme of The Greatest Show today. Now, if you don't know what the movie is about, here's a little quick synopsis. It's the story of P.T. Barnum, who started the circus. And it's done in a very fictionalized way. There's lots of entertainment and liberties used in the story. But it's also a musical. And so as you got a little taste of that right here. So it's this idea of how Barnum created the circus. Now the circus, it's kind of a bit of a dead art form these days. We don't see much going on with the circus. Otis, you spent a little bit of time with the circus, right? Any chance it's coming back? No. No. It's not likely to happen. And I was thinking, you know, this show, maybe this would kind of kickstart it. I mean, especially when you have P.T. Barnum played by Hugh Jackman. I mean, come on. Right? I ran into another pastor friend of mine. It was a while after the movie came out. We were at a choir concert, and they had sung one of the songs from the show at the choir concert. And he came up to me afterwards, and he said, you know, I just got one question. I mean, like, you've seen the show, right? And I'm like, yeah, I've seen the show. He said, I just got one question. Is there anything that Hugh Jackman can't do? I mean, he's an actor, he's a singer, he's a producer. Just a little bit of the accolades. He has an Olivier Award, like Sir Laurence Olivier, for his work in London. He has a Tony Award for a Broadway musical. He has an Emmy Award for hosting the Tony Awards. And he has also hosted the Academy Awards. So he's very well decorated as an actor and that sort of thing. You may not know this. I didn't know this until this week. He's doing a worldwide tour in May that kicks off. It lasts through the summer, and it covers like 76 shows on multiple continents. It's all over the world. He's going to be doing songs from The Greatest Show. He's going to be doing Broadway songs and Hollywood hits. And the tour is just called Hugh Jackman. Right? I mean, it's subtitled The Man, the Music, the Show, but it's just Hugh Jackman. Come see Hugh Jackman. So he does these Broadway musicals. He does these musical numbers, and he's Wolverine. Right? He's Wolverine. Now, I mean, how cool is that, right? If you're going to be like a superhero or action from the X-Men. So interestingly, he even holds a world record. This is the actual world record in Guinness. Longest career as a live-action Marvel superhero for this role. All right? So he's a really good actor. Just one little last tidbit. They actually approached him to play James Bond, and he turned it down. I mean, can you imagine Hugh Jackman? Bond. James Bond. Yeah, I don't know how he would do it. It wouldn't be like that, but it'd be so cool. It would be awesome, right? Hugh Jackman. The circus. That's what we were talking about. The circus. The circus was a really big deal in its heyday. It was called the greatest show on earth, but now it's dead and gone. And if a super talented actor like Hugh Jackman or a great show like The Greatest Showman can't bring the circus back to life, I don't think anything's going to be able to do it. Now, as you know, it's Easter, Resurrection Sunday. It's a big deal. In fact, it's only one of only 2 days a year that God actually takes attendance. So, okay, that's not true. Well, no. All right. So there's that. But it's also, as we've been talking about, it's this day that we remember and we celebrate what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's a day we remember how everyone thought that Jesus was dead and gone, and there was no hope at all of him coming back. But he was raised to life on the third day. So as we enter into our message time this morning, we're going to take a few moments to hear once again the story of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So I want to invite Tara and Megan to come up, and they're going to share that reading this morning. These are from different gospels kind of put together as one story, and they will read for us this morning. There's a part in this passage where it says many people, it tells us that many people had gathered to witness the death of Jesus. Luke's gospel says that the crowds had assembled for this spectacle. A spectacle is an eye-catching and dramatic public display. It's something unusual, something remarkable. So lots of people came to see his death, but no one showed up the moment that he came out of the tomb. It caught them off guard. It was a total surprise. And yet Jesus' death and his resurrection is the greatest show that this world has ever seen. And I want us to consider that this morning. How was it the greatest show? And as we do this, I want to look to one passage of Scripture that can help us kind of work through this idea. It's from Colossians chapter 2, and it talks about what happened, what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Colossians chapter 2 says this, "When you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our trespasses, having canceled the debt ascribed to us in the decrees that stood against us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." So Jesus' death and resurrection was the greatest show ever, in a number of different ways. First of all, it was the greatest show of mercy. It was the greatest show of mercy that this world is ever going to know. Paul tells us here, Paul wrote this to the letter at Colossae, and it says, "You were dead in your trespasses and your sins," or your sinful nature. Right? Dead. Not just sick. Not just slightly imperfect. We were spiritually dead because of sin. Some people, you know, we try oftentimes to focus on seeing the best in other people, and we want to think, well, people are basically good, but they mess up sometimes, and yet Scripture kind of tells us something different. It says we're not good people who mess up. We're spiritually dead people who need life breathed back into them, who need to be brought back to life. Like, we were all dead and gone. At least we were. And Paul writes, "When you were dead in your trespasses and your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ." So even though we were dead, God made us alive together with Jesus. It's like he took our life and Jesus' life and tethered it together. And now we are alive with him. This is, I was thinking about that this week, and this is an incredible concept. And if I can maybe give an illustration this morning that might help us get the picture of how God sees us in this, of making us together with Christ. Imagine that God the Father comes alongside you, and he puts his arm around you, and he takes you back in time to when Jesus was alive and walking on the earth, and you see Jesus performing miracles. You see him bringing healing and hope and help to all those around him, and he's living this perfect life, this sinless life, this life where not once does he ever fail God, the Father. And God says, "That's you. And of course, we're like, no, that's not me. That's Jesus. It's like, just wait, you'll get it. And so he moves to Jesus' death. And we see Jesus on the cross, bloody, bruised, and broken. We see him dying on the cross. He's still perfect. He's still sinless, but now he's in agony and torture that he's being put through. And so you're looking on and you see this, and God says, that's you. No, it's not me. That's Jesus. And he moves ahead to the third day. And he takes you to the tomb, where you know Jesus isn't going to be. Now we know that, right? It's not there. But you see the stone rolled away. You see that the tomb is empty. You see, you hear the angels saying, he's not here. He's risen, just like he said he would be. And then you see Jesus encountering the women who came to the tomb and talking to his disciples. You see the risen Jesus. And God says, that's you. That's you. And hopefully it all kind of starts to click for us that by faith we accept this crazy, mind-blowing offer of grace. And so now God no longer sees us and the life we lived. He sees Jesus' life. He sees his perfect life instead. He no longer sees your death. He sees Jesus' perfect death. And he sees us being raised up like Jesus because we were made alive together with Jesus. Your life, your death, and your resurrection are connected to him. You're made alive together with him. Now how did he do that? The scripture says he forgave all our trespasses, having canceled the debt ascribed to us in the decrees that stood against us. See, in order to meet God's perfect holy standard, all we have to do is be perfect like Jesus. That's all. You know, I tried to look this up online this week because I don't know the answer to this question, but I came across a list that someone had created from taking passages from the Bible. And there was a list of something like 660 different things, like ways you can sin against God. 660 of them. And that doesn't even count like the Old Testament rules and regulations that they had to follow, living out their life and worshiping God, the things that they had to do just to honor God in that. All you'd have to do to be innocent is accomplish every single one of them. Every single time. Every single day. No mistakes, no errors, no failure. But none of us measure up to that. Every single thing we've done wrong condemns us, the scripture says. Legally, it's like we have no leg to stand on before God. We're all guilty. But God forgave us and canceled that debt. And the way that he did that, he took it away. He took that debt away, nailing it to the cross. He put it all on Jesus and nailed it to the cross. That's how that debt gets canceled. So he took for us our selfishness. Right? Every time that we've acted selfishly, he took our selfishness and he nailed it to the cross. He took our quarreling. And he nailed it to the cross. He took our lying. And he nailed it to the cross. He took our materialism, right? Attitudes like that. And he nailed it to the cross. He took our boasting. And he nailed it to the cross. He took our contempt. He took our hypocrisy, our slander, our insincerity, our rage, our greed, our bitterness, our unforgiveness, our unwholesome talk, envy, malice, our stealing, our theft, our living for pleasure, our violence, or mocking others, sexual impurity, our unbelief, our complaining, our lust, our anger, swearing, idolatry, murder, or gossip, gluttony, our drunkenness, our adultery, our grumbling, our wickedness, our pride, our deceit, our apathy, our ungratefulness, our hatred. He took all of these things, all of it, everything that went against us, that was our debt, he took it all and he nailed it to the cross. Now these guys are going to continue to kind of nail these things in place. It's going to take a while. There's a lot of them. This is not even that extensive list. That was like 40 of the 600-something things. But he took it all and he nailed it to the cross. That's how he removed our debt. It was the greatest show of mercy that the world has ever seen. But it wasn't just a show of mercy. It wasn't just a show of mercy. It was also the greatest show of power the world has ever seen. Now, think about this. It says here that Jesus, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, Jesus had raised people to life. Some of the stories of the miracles he did included bringing people back from the dead. So there was a little girl that he raised to life and gave back to his parents. There was a funeral procession going on for a man whose mother was now not only childless but widowless, and he stopped the funeral procession, told the mother, stop crying. That takes some guts, right? And then he raised the man to life and gave him back to his mother. And he went to the tomb where Lazarus was. He had been dead 4 days. And he said, he spoke into that tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. You know, one theologian, Augustine, said, it's important to recognize that he specifically called Lazarus out of the tomb, because if he had just said, come forth, all kinds of people would have been coming out of the tomb, right? Like, he called Lazarus and raised him to life. And that's pretty impressive, to raise someone from the dead. But he also said, I'm going to die, and I'm coming back on the third day. Jesus himself was raised to life. That is serious power. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He disarmed the authorities. What does that mean? It means that, look, we have a very real enemy. The devil and his angels, they stand against us. They're waging war against every single one of us, trying to prevent us from following Jesus. They have schemes. that they use against us. And listen, it's pretty simple. Before we respond to Jesus, what he wants us to do is get us to dismiss Jesus, to ignore Jesus, or to reject Jesus. And when we do come to that place of putting our faith and trust in Christ, then he wants us to neglect Jesus, to forget about Jesus, or to better yet, turn our backs and walk away from Jesus. And when that doesn't work, he uses those schemes, those weapons as tactics to try and get us to fall into sin, to fail Jesus. Right? Our enemy had weapons, has weapons, and the enemy had these weapons pointed at Jesus, but Jesus disarmed them, it says. And now these weapons have no more power over us. And he didn't just disarm them, it says he made a public spectacle of them. It's like Jesus and the devil had this showdown, right? And Satan and the enemy, he's loaded up. He's got his guns and his knives and his spears and his whips and his chains. And he's standing there ready to open fire on Jesus. And Jesus, like, pulls this super ninja move and leaves him completely disarmed and pants on the ground, right? I'm not going to lead you in that chant, okay? Not here on Easter. You can do that on your own time. Leaves him embarrassed. He made a public spectacle of the enemy. He embarrassed him. And it's interesting because the enemy thought, oh, we can thwart God's plan. We'll kill Jesus on the cross. But the cross was part of God's plan. It was like an ambush, right? They walked right into an ambush. Instead of defeating Jesus, it says he triumphed over them by that cross. Jesus' death and resurrection wasn't just the greatest show of mercy, it was the greatest show of power the world has ever seen as well. And that's significant. But why did he do it? Why would he endure the agony, the pain, the humiliation, the injustice on the cross? Because he loves us. Because he loves us, plain and simple. Jesus is the greatest show of love the world has ever known. You've heard the saying before. It wasn't really the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love. It was his love for you and his love for me. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God shows us his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God gave Jesus to die for us as a sacrifice. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. That, and he did it while we were sinners. Now, honestly, I think sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to really come to terms with, because we want to feel like we deserved for him to do that. We want to feel like we're worthy of him doing that. But we're not. We're far from it. And yet that didn't matter to God, because he loved us so deeply. And Jesus said, look, no one has any greater love than this, than that he laid down his life for them. And that just wasn't a good teaching or a nice saying from him. It was actually what he was going to do. He intended to do that. He showed us his love by leaving his place in heaven, coming into this world and taking his place on the cross as a sacrifice for each and every one of us. That's love. That's the greatest show of love the world has ever known. He was the greatest show of mercy, the greatest show of power, and the greatest show of love. You know, to kind of wrap things up this morning in the message sense, the circus was once called the greatest show on earth. In its day, it was really something, especially if it was a three-ring circus. Right now, the circus started out. It started out as just one ring, you know, the action taking place right there in the ring, and the audience all gathered around under the tent. But then eventually, the circus merged with another circus, and there was a two-ring circus, and that was bigger and better. But the greatest circus of all was the three-ring circus. And all of this action under one tent, things going on here, things going on there, but the best, the most significant things that were taking place were in the center ring. Now, you could see it from everywhere, the activity going on in all three rings, but the stuff that was happening in the center ring, that's what everyone paid attention to. That's where the best performances were, the greatest acts. Unfortunately for us, we often get distracted by the sideshows, and we miss Jesus in that center ring. If I could give maybe another analogy, it's like, let's say you have tickets to a show at a music festival, right? Maybe it's Life Fest, maybe it's Rock USA or Country USA. I think I threw up in my mouth a little when I said that. Just kidding. You have this tickets to see this headliner, and it's somebody you love. It's somebody incredible. It's someone they're excited about. So you go ahead and you go to the show and you walk in and you hear this musician playing over in a side tent. You're like, yeah, it sounds kind of interesting. I'm going to go check that out. And they're okay. They're not great, but you get caught up in it and you spend a bunch of time in there and you walk out a couple of hours later and realize you missed the headliner. You miss the main thing. We're often so caught up in the sideshows, we miss the main thing. We get caught up with things that are less important than Jesus. We're distracted because of our school, our schooling, our education, our sports, our hobbies, our recreation, our entertainment. We get consumed with finding the girlfriend, finding the boyfriend, the fiance, our wife, our kids. And those things are important, but they're not the main thing. We get consumed with our job, our savings account, our retirement fund, and we end up missing out what's supposed to matter most. I think it's so easy for us to get sucked in by these sideshows and miss what's most important. So today, on Resurrection Sunday, Easter, we're reminded that we need to put our attention back on Jesus, who took his place in the center ring. It's where our focus needs to be. It's what he deserves, and it's where he belongs. So maybe this morning you're here and you're going, I'm ready to put my faith and trust in Jesus for the first time. Maybe you're here going, I've done that, but I'm distracted. I've been distracted by the sideshows, and I'm ready to come back to him. This is an invitation to do that this morning. And so we're going to close this time and enter into worship. And as we do, I want to pray, and I want to ask everybody here this morning to just pray along with me. Repeat this prayer after me, and we'll pray this together. Dear Jesus, thank you for the cross. I ask you today to be the center of my life, to be the focus of my heart. And not just today, but every day. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your power. And I thank you for your love. This morning we pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we close our time in worship today.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.